Well, it is graduation commencement season in America, anyway, and I was able to attend a graduation ceremony for MBAs. And I want to share something with you about what I think is happening involving AI and college degrees, and why is it that so many MBAs can't get jobs right now, even though they're bright and they have enthusiasm, etc. What's going on? And where is this headed in our society? What does it mean in the bigger picture? So welcome, I'm Mike Adams. As you know, I'm an AI developer. And of course, when I went to college in the late 1900s, as it's now said, we didn't have, I mean, we had computers, barely. We had to write our own programs. I remember writing an economic simulator in, I think it was like Visual Basic or something at that time. We didn't even really have Python working. We didn't have any good stuff. And I mean, we had early spreadsheets. We had, I think, Windows 3.1 at some point in when I was in college. But we didn't have anything that you would call intelligent, right? It was just dumb software. So we had to do all our thinking and writing ourselves. And where I went to school, there was a computer lab, and this was very common in many universities at the time. There would be a computer lab, and I specifically remember in the computer lab that I would visit, they had the original Macintosh computers with those little like 11-inch screens or whatever. They were so tiny. And you save your files on a floppy disk. Well, I think it was a 3.5-inch disk. You know, it was a floppy disk, but kind of a hard plastic container for it. So a 3.5-inch disk, and you would save your files on that. And you had to write your paper yourself. You had to go to the freaking university library, and you had to look up all the sources yourself. You know, we didn't even have search engines, just to be clear. We didn't have the internet. Okay. So you go to the library and you go through the freaking Dewey Decimal System that nobody under the age of 35 knows anything about. And you looked up your books and then you walked to that aisle to look for that Dewey Decimal number and then the author number. And then you find that somebody misplaced your book. But if you could find the book, you had to flip through it and you had to, you know, skim it, read it, make notes, make a citation, build up a bunch of citation cards. And then you take those citation cards back to the computer lab, and then you type in all your citations and you work it into your paper, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so that was a lot of cognitive work. But the thing is, it made us, it forced us to be better at doing cognitive work. Those of us who bothered to do the work, I should say, not everybody did, you know, some people would rather just cheat or whatever. But of course, I did all the work. I wrote all the papers, and probably you did too, listening to this. And you remember how much work it was. Well, today, even in the graduate programs, all of those steps can be carried out with the help of AI. And, you know, especially the research, you can spawn AI agents to do research that would normally take, you know, 50 hours. You can have it done in 5 minutes. You can even have AI do the writing based on your research, but it may not be the writing that you want unless you are willing to write a prompt. So prompt writing, or becoming the engineer or the orchestrator of a paper, is what people do today. But a lot of students are really lazy. They don't even do that. They're not even good at prompting. They don't write good prompts, right? So anyway, here's the thing. The MBA graduates today, they are facing a world of automation and machine cognition that people like me at my age, and perhaps you listening, we did not face that world. We could command some pretty good pay for being good at writing or graphic design or running spreadsheets. You know, in fact, in the early 1990s, if you just knew how to use spreadsheets, you had a job. You know, if you knew anything about network configurations for a computer, you know, you could have a job. You could be the network administrator of lots of different companies. If you knew about data storage systems, you know, how to store a large number of files, how to build search indexes, how to run a simple database, which is something You know, I was building databases in high school, you know. If you do those things, you were employable. Today, nope. That won't qualify you for a job at all. And I can't help but think that these hundreds of MBAs that I saw get their degree, there's no guarantee that they that their value will be recognized in the workforce at all. Because so much of what they do, some of it is decision making, some of it is, you know, judgment, some of it is financial analysis, risk analysis, things like that. Many of those tasks are now easily automated by machines. And where it takes a human, let's say, I don't know, what's the average age of an MBA graduate? Maybe it's 25 or something, whatever it is. Let's say it takes 25 years to create a human that can operate a business with some kind of common sense, which is what the MBA is. It's like sort of basic level of, you know, financial literacy and logistics literacy. You know, it's a baseline degree, in my opinion, you know, as an accomplished business person. If I'm looking at somebody with an MBA, I'm like, okay, so you know how to read and write and talk, and you know what integers are. That's great. But it doesn't mean you know much more about how to do business. And learning those skills requires experience. And getting experience requires getting hired. And getting hired means you need to do something better than machines. But that is ridiculously difficult now, since machines can do the entry-level things quite well that people used to be hired to do. So, you know, you can see the conundrum here. How do you get hired if you're new, fresh out of school? How do you get hired to learn the skills that will make you eventually a practical veteran of business? And increasingly, the answer is you don't. You don't get hired. So what business school graduates are increasingly doing is launching their own businesses with their ideas and then leveraging the cognition of machines with whatever they learned in business school. But they're not going in at an entry level of somebody else's company. They are launching their own idea, their own company as the founder. And that actually makes a lot of sense. And because so many of them are now doing that and will continue to do that, we are quite literally going to see a very radical reformation of the way business is done. We're going to see levels of automation and levels of augmented or enhanced machine-based cognition added to the human ingenuity, the human ideas that make business great. Now, many young people are skipping college entirely. They're skipping the four-year undergraduate degree, or they're skipping the MBA, because they already have ideas that can receive funding and have or are recognized as having high valuation, regardless of a college degree. And that's because things are moving so rapidly now in terms of tech and VC that people like myself, who are more the veterans of business, we look at young upcoming people, we judge them based entirely on their ideas, the practicality of their ideas, the intelligence, the innovation, etc. And we don't judge at all based on whether you have a degree. I don't care if somebody has an MBA. I don't care if they never went to college. It doesn't matter at all. What matters is what they're capable of doing. How good are their ideas? And also their level of maturity at any age. And I'm not the only one who sees things that way. Lots of VC is looking for young talent like that, that can put together these ideas with a synthesis that AI cannot replicate. So, you know, AI doesn't have judgment. AI doesn't have the level of creativity that humans have. And also, AI doesn't live in the real world, so it doesn't understand the practical built-in demand for certain types of solutions that can be offered as new businesses. You know, distributed solutions, open source solutions with a paid tier on the back end, you know, what have you. So this means that the value of a university education is not what it used to be. I mean, look, people can still learn a great number of things in a university, no question about it. But because of AI today, those who are capable of self-learning or, you know, self-paced learning can actually learn much more than a structured, rigid university program, even from some of the best universities. But understand, that's not the only reason why people go to universities. It's not just to learn things. It's also to build a network. It's to have access to the resources of the university, to meet the professors, to get guidance from professors or other students, or to be an alumni of a specific school that looks good on your resume or can open up some doors for a lot of people. So there are a number of reasons why people go to universities. And I'm not slamming all universities. I'm just saying that certain people, with the help of AI research, can advance more rapidly than any kind of structured learning system. But that's not everybody. That's just certain people. But those people will be among the most successful entrepreneurs that are up and coming. And those people don't need a university. They don't need a graduate degree to be effective. Those are people like myself, for example. Even though I went, you know, I have an undergraduate degree, because when I went to school, I didn't have the opportunities that I'm mentioning right now. If I were a young person coming out of high school today, there's no way I would go to a university, because I would realize that I could learn much more quickly on my own. Okay. And probably many of you listening, you're in the same boat, because you're lifelong learners. You know, we continue to learn whether there's a structured environment around us or not. And you know, it's worth mentioning that one of the projects that I've built that you probably know about, brightlearn.ai, this is an example of something that creates learning opportunities for students, or for anybody for that matter, completely free of charge, where there's no tuition fee, there's no book fee. You can build your own book with the help of AI. We now support 5-chapter book lengths, completely free, no cost whatsoever. It builds the book in minutes. It does the research that used to take, you know, hundreds of hours potentially. It writes the book. It draws the cover art, which used to take many, many hours of a graphic designer, etc. It does all of that. It packages it into a PDF and you can download the book. So that right there is a perfect example of what I'm talking about, how the ability to learn now is much more widely available, and has the cost of learning has dropped to zero. And I know you probably realize this, but when you're using my book engine to write a book, what you're really doing is extracting and reorganizing knowledge from not just the underlying LLM, but knowledge from millions of pages and documents of research documents that I've put into my in-house index that powers the research portion of that platform. And I use this every day in different ways. I'm not creating a book every day, but I'm using the research documents that I've put together every single day. And I'm doing discoveries, as I call them, where I have AI agents that are looking through all the books and all the science papers, and they're looking for things that are really amazing but not well known. And then those are identified as, quote, discoveries. And those discoveries, I'm starting to cover them editorially. And here in the podcast, I've covered, I think, 3 now. I'm hoping to do 1 a day or 5 a week, but we'll see how that goes. But it used to take, you know, hundreds of hours to find a similar discovery, let's say. Now, a quote discovery can just, you know, the AI agents can automate the finding of it and then bring it to your attention. And then you can study it and learn it and do whatever you want with it. And that's what I do. Is like the other day, it was that vitamin E, just 2,000 IUs a day of vitamin E, gives advanced stage Alzheimer's patients an extra 7.5 months of self-care where they don't need, you know, medical assistance to get dressed or take a shower or whatever. So an extra 7.5 months of quality of life from taking a few pennies worth of a vitamin E supplement once a day. That's a major big deal. That's a discovery. And so then I did a podcast on that, and I did an infographic on that and an article, et cetera, and put that out there. So AI helps us do those kinds of things much more efficiently. But it still requires somebody, you know, to study it and read it and understand it and then to explain it and to recognize why this is such a big deal. And AI doesn't have great judgment. So AI is always going to be limited in that way. Remember what I think about AI? I think of AI as Rain Man. In other words, it's a genius on the spectrum. So AI doesn't have judgment, you know, it doesn't have the emotional intelligence, but it can do crazy amounts of math and it can detect patterns, you know, it does all kinds of things like that, but it doesn't replace human judgment. So anyway, the real success that's going to come from entrepreneurs, innovators, inventors, etc., is going to be using your human judgment that the AI systems don't have, and then leveraging your ideas with AI to automate the parts that can be automated, but also maintaining human top-level control and orchestration and goal setting for the project at large. And in order to do that, you need to learn a little bit about building projects with AI. And I strongly encourage you, no matter who you are, no matter what your background, it's easier than you think. You can start creating projects pretty easily in AI. And the best site that I've found to do that, which I recommend you play around with, is called Replit, R-E-P-L-I-T.com. If you go to Replit, and again, I strongly encourage you, just go there and ask it to do something for you. You can have it build a PDF, a presentation file, you know, a slideshow. You can have it compare prices on websites for products that you're interested in. You can have it compile things. You can even have Replit launch a website for you. I mean, build one and just do the graphics and everything, make it look nice. So you just go to Replit.com, create even, I think, a free account or a low-cost account, and you can say, hey, I'm running a, you know, a pet rescue nonprofit in my local town, and it's called, you know, Barks and Larks or whatever. And I want you to build a website about how we rescue lost dogs and reconnect them with owners. And I want you to have a front page that, you know, looks awesome and talks about how to care for your dog. And maybe there's a donation link. And then there's like a registration where you can register a lost dog or whatever. You know, you just tell it what you want in plain English and then let it go do that. And you'll be amazed at how much it can do for you. And then you can literally launch that as a live website if you want, if you have a domain name and, you know, you want to pay for it. So that exists. And I recommend you use that. Because if you're listening to this podcast, you follow my work, you are among the thought leaders of our society. You're among the most successful people in every sector of society. And yet you might be a little bit behind on the AI side of things compared to the younger generation that's being brought up with a lot of AI. They're really good at using AI, or increasingly so, because that's how they get through college now, is everything is ChatGPT. But learning these skills will become crucial for achieving almost everything that you want to do in the information space or a business space or technology or anything. So check out Replit, do something interesting with it, challenge yourself, build something. And I think that you'll be glad that you did. And if you want to follow my work, I'm at brightvideos.com. You can use my free AI tools at brightanswers.ai. or brightlearn.ai. And there's more launching, by the way. And I've got even more coming up that will augment those platforms. So thank you for listening. Take care. Right now, more than ever, it's critical to eliminate counterparty risk. That's my belief. And don't take this as financial advice, because I'm not your financial advisor. But when you want physical gold and silver in your hands, or vaulted, professionally vaulted, insured, high security vault, etc., that eliminates that counterparty risk, which I think is an extreme risk right now. I think
banks are going to fail and we're going to have bank bail-ins. The currency is failing every day, you know, kind of little by little because of all the money printing and the valuation erosion that's accelerating. Also because of what's happening in the Middle East, more and more countries are agreeing to sell oil in currencies other than the dollar. And the only way that treasury yields are kept low is by the Fed printing money and buying our own debt, because there aren't enough international buyers to buy our debt anymore. So our country is like a snake eating its own tail financially. It's buying its own debt, and this is going to end badly. And when it does, in my opinion, those who hold dollars, even in bank accounts or in the stock market or whatever, they're going to be devastated by the losses. Gold and silver are the best way, in my opinion, to preserve your assets and make it through the coming storm. And the best place to get gold and silver is a company I've been working with, the original founders of the group, for 6 or 7 years now. Today it's called Battalion Metals, and you can reach them at metalswithmike.com. And the reason it's called Battalion Metals now is because they did a joint venture with Tucker Carlson. So Tucker Carlson is the co-founder of Battalion Metals. It's the same group I've worked with for years. And let me tell you about these people. They are pro-freedom, pro-liberty, pro-Ron Paul type of people. They respect your privacy. They understand the importance of your security, your privacy, and the importance of giving you gold and silver at the best possible competitive prices. So there's no bait and switch. There's no, you know, rigging. There's no weird coins like, here, have this 1.5 ounce thing that nobody knows what it is. They don't play games. Otherwise, I wouldn't promote them. This is the same company, metalswithmike.com, Battalion Metals. This is the same group that I recommend to my family, to my friends, and that I use myself. And I stack gold and silver every month, just a certain amount every month, and I have it vaulted with their vaults because I know I can trust them, because they're professionals. They're high integrity people. They're not fly by night. They are the kind of people that you can trust. Again, otherwise I wouldn't even be associated with them. So when you want to get gold and silver in your hands and eliminate that counterparty risk, this is the way to do it. Just go to metalswithmike.com. You can see the prices right there online in real time at Battalion Metals, or you can schedule a call with them. Just use this button right here, schedule a call. And they are trustworthy, high integrity, knowledgeable people who can help you devise a strategy that's suitable for you. Just remember, I'm not your financial advisor. I can't give you an investment strategy personalized for you. You need to do that yourself with your own advisors. You can talk with Battalion Metals and they can help give you a lot of information and some planning as well. But make the best decision for you. And you're going to make it through this. You'll make it through the storm, even as other people lose the value of their dollars or their other investments. Gold and silver will make it through. And right now, in my opinion, gold and silver are still at an incredible buying opportunity in terms of price compared to where they're going to be represented in dollars in the near future. That's my opinion. Do your own research. Do what's best for you. And check it all out at metalswithmike.com. So thanks for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. God bless you all. Take care.